First Peter chapter number 5 is where we're going to be at this evening. First Peter chapter number 5. And we'll start there in verse number 1. First Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Hey, you made it. Good job. You made it on a Monday night. And I'm sure it was quite crazy just to be able to make it over here. I hear every once in a while traffic can be busy around here. And I don't know how it was. I had a long walk. The whole parking lot I had to go today, but we was able to make it, and I'm so thankful that you're able to make it as well. We've been having a blast. It's been great to get to know people a little bit better, and had fun with the Pittman family last night, Brother Pittman today, and just having a joy just being around God's people. And I want to thank you so much to be able to come, and the choir was great. The handbell, I didn't know what was going on at first. Somebody behind me started donging, and I thought, I'm getting attacked, but that was great with the handbells. And a special as well. And there's a lot of effort that goes into all of that. Mom and Dad, thanks for coming tonight. If you don't normally come and listen to your kids sing. And you get a double blessing because you get to see this short white preacher from Tennessee preach. And I hope it will be a blessing to you. And we're not going to be long tonight, but I think it's very important to set aside time during these weeks to set aside time to have revival. And it's very important. And it's hard to believe that here I am preaching on a Monday night telling you, make sure you come out for the last day tomorrow night. But tomorrow night is the most important service of the week. Okay? Some of you thought today was. I tricked you. The most important service is the next one. Okay? So I hope that you'll come back tomorrow night. And maybe you don't normally attend and you came for the choir. I hope you still come back tomorrow night. And it's just so good to be able to see everybody. And I know I'll be back tomorrow, so I hope you'll join us as well. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's look at verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The title of the message this evening is Proper Church Etiquette. Proper Church Etiquette. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all the things that we've heard tonight and what a blessing it was as we glorified your name in many different ways. Lord, I pray that you show us, we as your people, if there's something lacking in our life that we need to change or whatever we need to do to draw closer to you. Lord, I pray we'll take those steps tonight to draw closer to you, I pray. Lord, once again, I pray that you fill me with the Spirit's power. I need your help tonight. Well, thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I had the opportunity all throughout my life to be a part of church. And I'm really thankful for that. And I think because the Lord knew I needed to be in church my entire life. And I was just thankful that when I woke up on Sunday morning, I knew where I was going. I knew I was going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, missions conferences. We're going to be there. And I love my childhood. I love going to church. And I remember there are some things that I had to learn what not to do at church. Oh, we don't do that here? Right. I'm not going to do that again, Father. And I remember one time, the church I was at the time, it was Calvary Baptist Church in Clinton, Indiana, they would have communion. And when they would have communion, I thought it was something all churches did. But then I went to other churches. I'm like, I don't know any other church that does that. But anyway, when they would have communion, they would turn the lights off in the auditorium. And they would light candles, and they had what they would call an altar, and it was a big wooden thing that would stretch the entire stage, and they would put these candles out, and they would light it, and they would turn off the lights, and they said, this is a time where you should have some reflection, not to look at other people on how you're doing spiritually, but look inwardly on how you're doing spiritually. Well, I was just a kid, okay, so you'd have to forgive me. They would light all the candles, and I think, I want to blow out the candle. I really want to blow out the candle. And there were several of them, and all of my friends wanted to blow out the candle as well. And there was two that was on the end that were the big candles. And I was never fast enough to make it to the big candle. Number one, I couldn't run in church. If I would run in the auditorium, bad things would happen to me, okay? And so, you know, you, as a kid, you just try to walk as quick as you can over. And I actually made it to the big candle. I was so excited. And that communion service, I think, went rather long. So there was a lot of melted wax in that candle. And I looked right down on the candle and I said, ha, to my friend, I beat you. That was the wrong thing to do, because all that wax came up. And that's why my face is the way it is today. And I was like, oh, oh. And I went to the restroom and I was trying to take all the wax off. If this has ever happened to you before, probably not. And I was trying to get it and I was just sort of, oh, man. Oh. And my dad came in. And when my dad came in, he said, boy. Yes, sir. You all right? Yes, sir. That'll learn you. Then he left. And I learned proper church etiquette. Let somebody else blow out the candles, okay? Well, it was a big day in my life. I was about 8 or 9 years old, the day I became a man, okay? My mom and dad told me I could sit in the auditorium wherever I wanted. Wherever? As long as you sit in front of mom and dad, you can sit wherever you wanted in church. Well, that still was a big deal, but mom and dad sat on the third row. And as a good independent Baptist, I never saw anybody sit on the front row at our church. So I sat on the second row with my friend. And I mean, this is big stuff. I'm sitting all by myself. And we had a special speaker. Oh, this is exciting. And it was a missionary. And this missionary, you know, he could really be emphatic. And he can really get with it, you know, and he can raise his voice and things. And I need to tell you something about myself. I am a people watcher. I enjoy being around people. And I enjoy seeing they do different things, okay? And how they just move their hands and how they talk and different things like that. I like going to, you know, you go to mall or stores. I'm like, what is going on over there? And if it's really good, I'll use it in my next sermon. But I love watching just people in general. Aren't we all weird, you know, from time to time? And I love catching people in those weird moments. Well, this missionary, he had something weird about him. His eyes would bulge when he emphasized a point. And so he was talking about something and he got real loud and he just sort of, yeah, ain't that right? Something like that. And I saw his eyes go, ooh. And I thought, how does he do that? That is incredible. And then he walked over here and he did, I got a side angle. And I watched his eyeballs just go out even further. Like, that is the neatest thing ever. Well, he kept going. And I don't know what he was preaching on. I was like, that is a talent I need to learn. Well, he started really getting going, okay? And he got down on the ground level. And he was sort of walking back and forth. And he said, there are people that are dying and going to hell. And when he did it, I was sitting on the second row. And he went like this. This is where I was sitting. And his eyes went out further than I've ever seen before in my life. I couldn't hold it. Have you ever tried to hold it in and you failed? And that guy, and I just went and started laughing. And then it got worse. Because then the missionary said, "Young man, you may think it's funny people are dying and going to hell, but I don't think it's funny." And his eyes went out again. Have you ever been in a spot where you knew someone was staring at you, but you could not see them? I could feel my mom and dad's glare. That's why I have a bald spot. I could feel them staring at me. I didn't talk to any of my friends. I just went right to the car. Actually, it was the van at the time. Chevy conversion van, cream on the outside with an orange stripe, orange interior. You know, man, the nice ones. And I went and I sat in that van. And I thought, I'm dead. I am dead. Dad came in, slammed the door. Silence is in the van. My dad finally says something to break the silence. "You just had to laugh, didn't you, boy?" I said, "Dad, did you see that guy's eyeballs?" And he said, "That was incredible." And we laughed really hard at that point. What I was learning from my mother was proper church etiquette. The way we're supposed to act when we're in church. Well, in 1 Peter chapter number 5, God's word is talking to believers here and explaining to us, as we, as God's people, how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to be. And the first four verses we find here in 1 Peter, they're talking to church leaders. But when we get to verse number 5, it's talking about how all of us should be. In verse number 5 in 1 Peter 5, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Number one, the kind of church etiquette spiritually that we should all have, we need to be submissive. Submissive. And we need to be submissive to the authority that's over us. We need to be putting ourselves under the authority. Obviously, we need to put ourselves under the authority of our pastor. It's important. But also, we should be putting ourselves under any type of authority that's over us. It starts off here, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." You know, we should give respect to people that are older. You know, a lot of people would say, we can learn a lot from the children. We can learn a lot what we're not supposed to do from the children. I get that. And I understand you can pay attention and learn some things from kids. I learned a lot of things about kids. Once we had R3, I learned a lot. I don't have patience and things like that. Learned a lot from them. But young people, you need to be submitting to the authority that's over you, your mom and your dad. Whether you're here tonight, if you're 7 or if you're 17, you should be placing yourself under that authority. The structure of the home is the man is the leader of the home, and the wife is supposed to be under the authority of the husband. And then the kids are supposed to be under the authority of the parents. And we place ourselves under the authority of our pastor. Now, that doesn't mean there's not checks and balances and all those kinds of things, of course. But the pastor is a spiritual leader. We need to place ourselves under that authority. But so often, we don't. How do you do, mom and dad, with the authority that's over you at work? If at work you don't like your boss and you gripe and complain about the boss and this boss is just doesn't know what he's thinking. He's just a moron. I don't know what's going on here. And you're talking that way in the home. and you're talking bad about your boss, or you're talking bad about your pastor, your kids are hearing that. And you're going to reap what you sow in that. And your kids are not going to want to submit to your authority because you're not submitting to your authority. And we as God's people, we need to be submissive. It goes on in verse number 5, and it says, "For God resisteth the proud." That means to range in battle against. So if you're going to be a proud person and you're not going to submit to the authority that's over you, God is going to range in battle against you. Let me ask you an obvious question tonight. Do you want God to be for you or range in battle against you? It's pretty simple. I do not want God to range in battle against me. So what do I need to do? I need to make sure I submit to the authority that's over me. What we're talking about tonight is proper church etiquette. Number one, we need to be submissive. Number two, we need to be humble. And verse 5 and 6, it sort of goes hand in hand, where it says, "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." You know, what the world says is never humble yourself. What the world says is promote yourself. Be full of pride about yourself. Tell everybody how great you are. That's why the selfie is so popular. Because it's all about me. God says just the opposite. God says submit to the authority that's over you and humble yourself. And if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. So what does that mean when God exalts someone? When God exalts someone, it means to raise to dignity, to honor, and to happiness. Now that sounds like a good deal to me. I can only promote Matt Downs for so long, right? Because I'm very limited. Wouldn't it be a lot better to get God to exalt you? If God exalts you, he'll exalt you to honor, to dignity, and to happiness. I've never met a proud person that's happy. They're just going around talking about how great they are. They're good at this. They're good at that. All these kinds of things, right? How much money they make, how big their house is, how fast their car can go. They're just filled so much with pride so often. But God says, if you let me exalt you, I'll take care of everything and you'll be happy. I want happiness. I want God to exalt me. And so if that's going to happen, I need to make sure I'm a humble person. We're talking about proper church etiquette tonight. We need to be submissive. We need to be humble. Number three, we need to be free from worry. Be free from worry. Look at verse 7. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I love that verse. When I first think of the word casting, I think of going fishing. And I don't get to go fishing very much. And anytime I get to, I really like doing it. The last time I was able to fish that I can remember, I was in Texas and they said, "Let's go out on this lake." I went on this lake. I thought it was a river. The thing was massive. And the guy that was right around the boat with us, he said, "All right, we're going to be catching some fish. You ready to catch some fish?" I said, "I'm not a very good fisherman." He goes, "Don't worry. I am a good fisherman. You're going to catch some fish today." So he had some fancy fishing poles and things like that. And I couldn't figure it out. He said, "Well, I got this one push button fishing pole. You want to use that, cheapie?" I'm like, "Hey, I know how to do that. It was an old Zebco, you know, push the button. I love that thing." They're like, "All right, if you want to take that piece of junk, you can have it." I'm like, "Yeah." So I got the Zebco out and he said, "All right, we're catching fish at the bottom. Let it sink all the way down. How do you know if I sunk it all the way down?" "It's not going further down." "Right." So put it all the way down. And I tell you something, he said, "Right when you catch, feel a little tug, you yank." I said, "All right." yank, pull it up, caught a fish, caught a fish, caught a fish, caught a fish. I'm like, this is incredible. He said, we're done. I said, we're done? I'm catching fish more than I ever have in my entire life. He said, they're done now. I'm watching my little radar. Come on, we're going to catch some catfish. Okay. He went under the dock, by the dock. He said, throw it under the dock. You'll catch catfish. Did it? Caught a catfish. I'm like, this is awesome. So when I think of cast, I think of a fishing pole. You push the button, vroom. But what happens? At some point in time, you start bringing it back. That's what a lot of Christians do with worry. Casting all my care upon you, Lord. Vroom. Oh, man. Dennis says, got to get braces for the kid. Oh, man. I ran into a guy. I wonder if the insurance is going to cover it. Oh, it's already back. Oh, sorry, Lord. There I am worrying again. So often that's how we think of casting. Don't cast your worries on God like you're going fishing. Do it like you're skipping rocks. I love skipping rocks. You know, it's just something to do when you're over by the lake and you get the smoothest rock. You take that rock and you just sort of throw it sideways and you try to get it to bounce so many times to skip across the water. But you'll never see that rock again. That's how we should be giving our worries to God. I'm casting all my care, Lord, upon you. And I'm not trying to go back for it. God doesn't worry about things that are not going to happen. Is that something? God doesn't worry about things that are not going to happen. I would say most of our worry, that's what we worry about. Things that never take place. That's what we worry. But God never worries about those things because he knows it's not going to happen. So he doesn't worry. He doesn't worry about anything. We talked about God is power. But we still so often start worrying and we don't cast our care upon him. You know, I don't know if God cares about all the things that I care about. I don't know. You know, I care about things that are probably not the best things to care about sometimes. A few months ago, I was able to go golfing with a buddy of mine. I was in Harnett, Kentucky. We met in a town halfway point. He came down from Cincinnati. And you know what I woke up thinking that morning? I want to beat my college friend in golf. Isn't that terrible? I even prayed about it. I said, Lord, I would love to beat Andy Reeder in golf. This would be awesome. And I talked to the Lord about it. You know what? I don't know if God cares about those things. By the way, I did beat him. It was awesome. I don't know if God cares about those things, but I know he cares for me. And I know he cares for you. You know, when we get caught up in worry, what worry does to us many times is worry makes us just flat out tired. We don't sleep very well, and we're always just thinking about stuff, and we get tired so often. And when we're tired, we're not right. There's a football coach. I guess he did okay. His name was Vince Lombardi. And he said, fatigue or being tired makes cowards of us all. So when we're tired, we don't go gusto into things, right? We're like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go do that. I don't know if I want to go after that project because you're tired. And I have a little acrostic for tired, that's been a help to me. I want to share with you tonight, okay? Letter T, when you're tired, you feel trapped. You lose hope. You lose hope. Letter I, you feel inadequate. I cannot handle this situation. I just don't have the talents. I just don't have the abilities. God has all the power. God has all the abilities. Letter R, you feel responsible. You feel responsible that you not only have to fix all your problems, but you have to fix everybody else's problems as well. Letter I, you feel excluded. because you're worried and because you're tired, you're continually missing out on God's best for your life. And letter D, you feel depressed. I can't do enough. I just keep failing. Why is that? Because we haven't been doing what verse number 7 says. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We're talking about proper church etiquette. Being submissive, being humble, being free from worry. Number 4, we need to be on guard. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Listen, the devil wants to destroy your life. And he'll do whatever he can take. He may be trying to get you to do some small sins. He may be trying to get you some big sins. But flat out, he wants to destroy you. Number one, he does not want you to know for certain that you're going to heaven. But friend, you can know that you're going to heaven. And it's trusting in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. We've all done sin. We've all done wrong. And because of that, we deserve judgment. And we deserve to go to hell. But God loved us so much. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, a little over 2,000 years ago. And He was perfect. He didn't do one thing wrong. And He died on the cross for our sins. And 3 days later, He rose from the grave and He went to heaven. And the Bible says, if you believe that to be true, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, the devil wants to destroy you and he wants you to die and go to hell. But once you trust in Jesus Christ, he's not done. He still wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy everything. And the devil does not fight fair. Oh, he's sneaky. He gets in through the internet. He gets in through our movies. He gets in through our television. He gets in through music. He gets in any way he can. He wants to pervert it because he's trying to destroy you. So Christian, let's be on guard. Proper church etiquette is that we're watching. We're seeing how the devil may be infiltrating into our family. And we say, you know what? That wasn't the worst thing to be watching or listening to. But I don't think, young person, it's the best thing. So let's just stop doing that. Because we're not going to let the devil have any part of our life. We need to be on guard. The devil doesn't fight fair. He wants to destroy everything. But I'm so thankful that we have power over the devil. And it's through Jesus Christ. And lastly, our time will be done tonight. We need to be realistic. We need to be realistic. Would you look at verse number 10? But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You all know this, but let me say this. Bad days are going to come. Hardships are going to come. It's talking about here in the Word, you endure it for a while. But that means, praise the Lord, it comes to an end, right? It comes to an end. The trial is done. But look what He does while you're suffering a while. He makes you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Another way to say it is, God, during these trials, is fixing us. I love that. I wish I could fix stuff. I'm not very good at it. When I do, oh, I like to tell everybody about it. Hey, I fixed something. It was called duct tape. I found this new thing that's really awesome. It's called Great Stuff. It's great stuff. You got a gap in your house? Get out the foam. Shh. I fixed it. It looks terrible, but I fixed it. There's all types of fun stuff like that. I love it when I'm able to fix stuff, but when God fixes stuff, He makes it right. And so when there's hardship that comes through, God is fixing us. He's perfecting us. He's He's making us better. He's strengthening us. He's establishing us. He's settling us. We need to be realistic. The Christian life is not always the easiest thing in the world. But God, through those hardships, makes us better if we're keeping Him first in our life. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Grace is simply the power and ability to do what is right. That's what I need. I need God's grace in my life to find help in time of need. And maybe your church etiquette, you find yourself lacking tonight. And maybe it's a few things, maybe it's just one thing, but I love for you to get that thing fixed tonight. And more importantly, that's what God wants you to do as well. Maybe you're here and you're not even a part of God's family. You just don't even know if you're going to heaven or not. Well, in just a few moments, we're going to have what we call an invitation. And I'm going to ask us a couple of questions so I can pray for you. Then after I get done praying for you, the piano's going to play and there'll be some singing. And pastor will be standing up here at the front. And if you'd like to know more about Jesus Christ, and if you'd like to know how to get a home in heaven, just walk right up to pastor and say, "Pastor, you know what? I don't know. And someone will take you over to a side classroom and show you from the Bible how to be saved. But I think there's some Christians here tonight. Spiritually speaking, you're struggling in some of these areas. Won't you come down here to the front in a few moments and get right with the Lord? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions here tonight. How many of you would say, "Brother Matt, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven." But when you're talking about these things, about being submissive, being humble, and being free from worry, or being on guard, or being realistic about trials and tribulations, you'd say, "Brother Matt, I'm going to be honest with you. God spoke in my heart tonight. There's some things I need to fix tonight. Please pray for me. There's things I need to give over to God." Would you raise your hand tonight up high? Let me pray for you. God bless you all. Amen. God bless you all. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. God bless you. Yes. Let me ask you that question again. Is there anybody else? I should have just raised my hand, but I didn't. There's some things God showed me tonight, how I need to draw closer to the Lord. Please pray for me about that, Brother Matt. That's you. Go ahead and slip up your hand up high. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Wonderful. Wonderful. God sees your hearts and your hands. You can put your hands down. How many of you would say this? "Brother Matt, when you're talking about having a home in heaven, you know, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or if I'm going to hell. And I would like to know. Would you please pray for me about that? I just don't know if I'm going to heaven." If that's you, would you slip up your hand and let me pray for you today? "I just don't know." Okay, God bless you. Sure. Anybody else would say that? "I just don't know." All right. Everyone, would you look up this way? We're going to have a verse, an invitation song. And God spoke in your heart. Christian, why don't you just come down here to the front, get down on your knees and tell the Lord all about it. And you can leave here changed. Let's stand for prayer. Father, Lord, we're burdened tonight because spiritually our church etiquette, we find ourselves lacking. There's ones that need to submit to authority better. There's ones that need to be more humble. They need to be free from worry. They need to be more on guard because the devil is a real thing. And maybe they just need to be realistic in this trial and why you brought them in to fix us. And Lord, I pray to have your will and your way during this invitation time. Well, thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and the piano's playing now. You raise your hand, won't you come? Amen. God bless you. Good. Good. Tell the Lord about it.